How's it going, guys? Today we're jumping straight into the beaten path. We are taking the path less traveled by, the space nobody dares to go. We are diving into things like conversations on the great acceleration, its converse, great push towards real intimacy and self-awareness, and then wrapping up with my thoughts on what the shit is going on. All this and a little bit of funky sauce on today's Son of a Pitch. I'm Michael Cuenca, and let's get crack-a-lackin'. Yeah. So a little while ago, my uncle gave me this book called The Great Acceleration. And in the book, it discussed notions of how technology is speeding things up faster than we ever could have expected. In fact, when you contrast the adoption rates of different technologies from the telephone all the way to the internet, you go from a period of decades down to less than 8 to 10 years for the internet. And what this means, I think, is that it's very much in line with what Kurzweil was talking about in terms of the exponential curve of technology development and subsequently its adoption. But I think what we're seeing these days with COVID and these quarantines all over the world is that people find themselves moving a lot faster than ever before. Studies have shown that you've actually added 2 to 3 hours to the workday just by virtue of us not spending that commute time, that transition time from work to home mode. It's literally on. And this great acceleration of work demands and timings is an interesting phenomenon that I'm noticing with regards to technology adoption. And in particular, when you think about it, what these quarantines have forced us to do is to take ideas and tactics like digitizing our networks, like moving everything from paper records to digital. It's taken all of that and made it even more crucial, even more mission critical than ever before, which means that it's accelerated the adoption of digital technologies faster than ever. Now, when you think about the adoption curve, for example, the innovation adoption curve, you have like the late majority, early adopters, and then like the bleeding edge guys. What you're seeing here is people that were in the late majority, people that were in the latter stages of the entire process of adopting to new tech, those guys have now been forced into the early space, which already has been saturated with people and ideas and tech. So, for example, what do I mean here? I think one of the things that I first started experimenting with is putting together things like webinars and group sessions, because you can't have symposiums online like you would offline. You can't have group meetings, you can't have group trainings in the same way, in the same sort of interaction as you would beforehand. So now everything's gone online, and so started noticing that this desire to go into a more digital space, a space that was already full of people doing webinars, kind of schmushes, I think that's the technical term, it schmushes the things that people are doing already online and the things that people are doing offline that now get transposed into the online world. So, in other words, there were a lot of people out there already doing webinars, and they were kind of, I mean, in all honesty, they kind of felt like used car salesmen of the internet. They followed a predictable funnel of emails and triggers and multi-step processes to get you to love their content. It usually starts with giving away a crap ton of content up front, baiting you to buy their programs because they're like, if this is all they give away, imagine what they talk about in their sessions. Which is definitely a false positive that you're going to have more to add. And so what happens then is that you end up in this already saturated space of webinars and online talks and symposia that by the time everyone else wakes up and learns how to do them and trains themselves on how to do it, you're too late. In fact, when COVID hit, you were already too late. So it's forced a lot of people to accelerate the path of their digital adoption. It's forced major companies to go completely digital. It's basically the equivalent of telling everyone you need to be online and have a website today. COVID has made those people that thought they didn't need a website to think otherwise quite quickly. And I think that's a really interesting phenomenon. So this notion of the great acceleration is one concept that has been fascinating to me and quite interesting to think about if you look at it from a higher level of how people adopt technologies and what that means for everyone and everything today. Now on the flip side, you have things like the Great Acceleration that's forcing a lot of people into a more digital world, more digital behaviors. Oftentimes, they're quite foreign to these spaces. It's totally new. It's like getting your grandparents to fix the 12 o'clock, blinking 12 o'clock on their VCR. And for everyone born after 1990, forget what I just said. So there's a counterpoint to the notion of the Great Acceleration. And the counterpoint is that we're noticing a lot of people are starting to take more time for themselves and realize that when you let work and progress keep pushing forward at the expense of your mental sanity, yourself, when you are literally in your home and witness work and projects and all the crazy shit you would do outside of your home creep into your home, it becomes very real. It becomes very present. You're literally confronted with the need for self-awareness. You're confronted with the necessity for self-care and taking time to shut down everything. We've gone from using phones to connect with friends across the world to using phones to connect with family and people that we care about in the same city. The behaviors have shifted, both in the Great Acceleration argument and in the Great Countenance, the Great Intimacy move. But what's interesting on this side of things is that as much as we've hurled ourselves into this massive push for progress and acceleration, I think we're also fortunately starting to realize that we've kind of forgotten ourselves a little bit in the mess. We've kind of forgotten what we're really all about. And listen, I'll be honest with you, I'm guilty of the same thing. Like, there are moments, especially in the last 6-7 weeks of quarantine here in the Netherlands, that I feel completely crushed by a lot of the pressures and stresses of everything going on. I'm blessed to have an amazingly supportive partner, great kids, and fortunately some work that keeps us afloat a little bit. Did lose a lot of work because the stuff I do, helping people present in public, for some reason doesn't really bode well for people that want to be presenting in public. So obviously you've had the pivot, and pivoting is tiring, and the more tired you are, the less wherewithal you might have to deal with some stresses, but they're still there. So there's a push, there's a need for self-awareness, telling your booking moments of you time, a more intimate sense, making sure you spend time with the family, making sure you spend time with the wife or the hubby, that even though you're locked in, you can have moments of serenity and intimacy that you might not have had before. I mean, even on a wider sense, you know, kids are home for a lot of families, and instead of seeing mom and dad out at the office, they see them at home. Their parents, regardless of what the family makeup is, are now home more often. And even though it can be stressful and tiring, and there are increasing warning signs sometimes, you know, with all these tensions, healthy and unhealthy relationships alike, the presence of having your parents around, I don't know, depending on how fucked up they are, I guess, is not entirely terrible. Especially if you realize that it's trying for everyone, you know? I worry about making sure that my daughter is not going to get fucked up from this COVID shit of being kept at home. I want, you know, my family to feel safe and still be able to, you know, express themselves and go out. There's this countenance that's making me appreciate a great sense of intimacy and a great sense of care and love for each other, that, and make sure that, you know, that's shown. So on the flip side of everything, there's good and there's bad. There's the great acceleration notion. There's the push for bigger, better, faster. And then there's the pull for a sense of intimacy and care for self and care for others that I think is really beautiful here. Something we can definitely take away from all this. So what's next? What comes after this? What's our day zero look like? What's our day one look like? What's our day 30 after this look like? What is after this? How do we know when we're done with it? Feels like this virus is something that is just now part of our lives. How do you adapt? How do you adjust? How do you manage a life that feels great while moving in what sounds a lot to a lot of people around, like, scared for the consequences, scared for things happening? What's our day one like? I think, from what I'm seeing, I hope it looks nothing like anything we've done to date. I keep saying to a lot of friends of mine, I think this is Mother Nature basically sending us to our rooms and saying, go there and think about what you did. That we've pushed and accelerated and industrialized and been focused on things like growth, development, speed, better, bigger, faster, harder, better, bigger, faster, and all of those. We've held them as badges of honor. I have friends in North America living lives that were all about their jobs. And I have friends in Europe and other places in the world that have a more balanced and nuanced understanding of what life and work are all about. But either way, I think regardless, no matter how quote-unquote balanced your life might have been or is, or how biased towards the get-er-done hustle mode kind of mentality versus let's move to Bali and take yoga pictures while I drink coconut water and go on juiced fasts. So there's got to be some kind of rejuvenated, renewed sense of humanity. And I think the one thing that I'm taking away from this whole thing is that I hope it's given us not just a sense of hope, but also a sense of shared understanding. A sense that we can and should develop a species level way of thinking and approaching situations. Looking at it not like countries and nations and backgrounds and relationships and biases, but more like we happen to be an animal on a planet located amongst trillions of planets in a sea of an ever-expanding crazy-ass universe that we are so ridiculously insignificant in, that if we look at it from a species kind of approach, if we take this from a we are all humans and let's try to make everyone's life amazing here, maybe being sent to our rooms was not a bad thing after all. Maybe being forced to take a long, hard look at what we're doing, how we're doing it, and most importantly, why we do it, and for whom, might be our generation's calling card. It might be our responsibility to turn around and change the way the species grows, and maybe instead to find ways to thrive amongst an ecosystem that we've spent so long ignoring in business practices that have been so unidirectional and self-serving, in systems that may or may not actually help the greatest amount of people, like 7 billion people on the earth. You telling me that we can't find ways to help everyone live a better life? I find that hard to believe. So, what is our day one like? I'm hoping it's never going to look anything like any of the days before. And we'll see. We just need to all find ways to work together. And maybe at the end of the day, day 30 won't suck. Sure as shit, I'm almost getting fucking tired of 2020 already. I mean, come on, guys. Just like, come on. This was kind of like, you know, like a couple of years ago when like 20 amazing people all died at the same time. It was like Bourdain. I mean, I don't know about their characters or whatever, but there was just a lot of really famous people that all passed away, all within like a ridiculous short span of time. It was almost like every week it's like, oh my god, another Beatle died. Or, oh my god, this other person died. And I think David Bowie died, and Robin Williams killed himself, and everyone found out Bill Cosby's a douchebag, completely destroying my childhood. And any opportunity for me to go, hey, hey, hey. It's kind of like that. Just so done. But I'm also very hopeful. So, you know, everything has its push and pull, has its yin and yang. There's a balance, I'm pretty sure, in almost everything. And once we find our footing, once we find our balance, I'm sure we'll be all right. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. It's a little bit of a departure on what I normally talk about, but I hope you enjoyed it. Listen, this is a podcast. This is reality. This is 2020. You're going to enjoy it. You're not going to enjoy it, but either way, thank you for spending the last couple of minutes with me, and I look forward to seeing you guys real soon. As always, don't forget, stay happy, stay healthy, stay hydrated, stay the fuck inside. I will see you real soon. You're listening to Son of a Pitch with Michael Cuenca. I'm Michael Cuenca, signing out.